Coming up in April is the Hummingbird Festival, and there are a lot of activities associated with that as we celebrate the migration of birds and their return to Alaska. Joining us this morning, we have Leslie Swatter from the Southeast Alaska Discovery Center, who will tell us about all the activities, and bird enthusiast Andy Piston, who I'm guessing is leading some walks and having some other activities going on during this festival as well.
Yeah, it's all true.
That's right.
All right.
Correct.
And let's start with you, Leslie. Tell folks about the Hummingbird Festival. This has been going on for quite some time, has it not?
Yeah, probably about 20 years, I would say. That's my guess.
It was before your time.
Yeah. So a little before my time. But and the reason it was in April instead of May, because I think May is the national.
I was going to ask you that.
I mean, Andy probably knows better than I do. It's like the national celebration of migration of birds. But here in Alaska, that is when the visitors arrive. So it was thought that it would might be better and better serve local people to actually have this festival in April.
And I've noticed the birds are there. You're hearing a lot of bird calls in the morning.
Absolutely.
Yeah, things are getting going. A lot of our, most of the birds here singing right now are resident birds like Pacific wrens and varied thrush and golden crown kinglets, but migrants are starting to arrive now. There's American robins are one people probably notice. They usually arrive in early to mid-March, and they're pretty widespread along the road system right now. And there's a lot of species that'll start arriving right around the end of March and as we get into April. April's really the month where everything starts arriving, and so we're kind of on the cusp of a major movement of birds here.
You mentioned we're mostly hearing the resident birds. They get more vocal, though, come spring?
Yeah, usually.
They were kind of quiet in the winter.
Yeah, this is typically when you get into early March, a lot of those birds I mentioned, chickadees, things like that, will start singing more, and we should start hearing grouse pretty soon, hooting and things
like that.
Is that
attracting mates? Is that their mission?
Yeah, it's their territorial. It establishes their territories and things like that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And Leslie, coming up today, I believe, is the deadline to submit your art items. So some last minute folks out there, if you want to get an art project together for the Hummingbird Festival Juried Art Show, this would be it.
Yeah, today's the day. And if you go to the Discovery Center, we are open from 12 to 8 p.m. tonight because we do have a Friday night insight tonight. So you can drop your work off today and we'll definitely take it from you. If there's someone there before noon, you can go to the side door and drop it off. You just have to knock. But we open at noon, so normally we're there at noon, but sometimes we're earlier.
Wasn't it being collected elsewhere or no? It's been at the Discovery. People need to drop it off there. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And again, tell folks a bit about the activities, what's coming up with this Hummingbird Festival.
So we kick off the festival on April 4th, which is next Friday, with the opening reception, which is hosted by the Ketchikan Visitors Bureau. The art show features artists from all over Alaska, and they basically need to choose a bird from the spring migratory bird list that Andy and I worked together on years and years ago. And then we display the works, and then a jury comes in and decides, you know, the award winners. So that will be 5 to 7 p.m. Next Friday, April 4th. And that show will be on display at the center from May 31st, or from that time till May 31st, excuse me. And then on that same day at 7 p.m., we'll have the movie Crane Song, which is a visual essay of striking images and majestic sounds of the sandhill crane's migration. And Andy might be able to talk a little bit about the cranes that we have here locally.
Yeah, we usually as we get into April, you might see small groups of cranes flying down the Narrows. And there's actually if you're in mainland areas, there's lesser sandhill cranes that migrate further up into Alaska, and you can see big flocks, like when I've worked in the Unuk River in the past, you might see big flocks of cranes going overhead, or if you're at the Stikine River, places like that. But out on the outer islands, we have small breeding population of greater sandhill cranes, and typically around Ketchikan, we might just see small groups of 5 to 10 birds. And during the summer, if you hike around out in the muskeg areas of Gravina Island, for example, you might run into a pair of cranes out there or on Prince of Wales Island. And so those are local breeders that we have.
And do you have plans during the festival for any kind of bird counts or bird viewing? I know there's always bird viewing activities, but do you do counts during this time of year? I know you do the winter count. But...
Not specific counts. I mean, when I'm out birding, I keep track of everything I see all the time, so I'm kind of in continuous count mode. But for the Hummingbird Festival, the walks are just to take people out to see birds and show people things and teach them about birds we have migrating through.
And do you see... I guess, is everyone here by April? Not everyone, but like all the birds here by April?
No, you know, I try to do the walk I lead. I try to do the very last weekend of the Hummingbird Festival in late April because that's really getting towards the peak of migration. And by that last week of April, you can see most of the birds that are arriving, but there still are some birds that don't arrive until early May. And there's a few that don't arrive till late May, but by the first 2 weeks of May, the vast majority of birds that arrive are here. So it's a great time. That last week, April, first 2 weeks of May, is just the best time for migration.
And coming up later, what are some of the birds you'll see? You mentioned a few that will be coming or starting to come in now.
Well, as you get into mid-April, that's when you'll start seeing our first Townsend's warblers. And when you get into late April, May, some of the other warblers will arrive. A lot of it depends on, you know, those are birds that are eating more insects and things, so they have to arrive later. As you get into May, flycatchers will arrive, and that's a group of birds that is completely dependent on eating insects, and so they can't arrive too early or they'll be in big trouble. Sparrows, you know, all the fox sparrows and golden crown sparrows and things like that usually are arriving. Well, fox sparrows should be arriving any day. They seem to be slow in arriving in numbers, but usually by late March, there's quite a few of them around, and they become abundant in April, and a lot of those sparrows are pretty hardy, and they, you know, they're eating seeds and things. They'll eat insects too, but they arrive earlier than some of those later groups of birds, like that are more insect dependent. And then shorebirds, that's a large group of birds that there's a lot of species that we see here in Ketchikan, and they pour through in a relatively quick window, and it's usually the last week of April and the first 2 weeks of May. Pretty much all of them move through in a real short time frame. And a lot of those are breeding up in the Arctic, so they.
I was going to ask that. So a lot of them are—they're just transitioning through, passing by, and you may see them briefly. Or
and another reason those don't—you know—the peak of shorebird migrations in early May, because a lot of those are breeding up in the Arctic, and so they can't really arrive up there till late May, June, because it's frozen until that time. So they're kind of later migrants as well.
On these bird walks, is there a lot of instruction, like helping people identify birds so they know kind of what they're looking at and for?
That's mostly what we do. Usually when we do our Gravina Island bird walk, for example, there's a lot of flocks of geese and ducks flying overhead. And, you know, we try to help people ID things by calls. And it can be a challenge at times. But on some of our trips, we've had really good migration days to where there's been a lot of birds that are easy to view. But it's always unpredictable, I guess.
And I have to admit, to me, a lot of them look very similar. It's a little brown bird or something, which the males oftentimes are easier to identify because of colorful plumage. But sometimes, they're similar. A lot of them seem so similar.
Yeah, no, it can definitely be a challenge for people. And there's certain groups of birds that are harder, like gulls give people fits. You know, even experienced birders generally have a really hard time identifying gulls. And I think people just call them seagulls. But we actually have, you know, there's five or six species that are really regular in the Ketchikan area. And, you know, we've probably had a dozen or more species of gulls that we've actually seen in Ketchikan over the years. So there's really quite a variety, and they're coming and going from all sorts of different regions. They breed in different areas. They're highly migratory, and they're really interesting. I think people just kind of overlook them.
And I was going to say, you also can go to the supermarket parking lot and see them pretty up close.
Yeah.
And they don't run away, and they're pretty big.
There's some good places. You know, herring, herring spawn along the road system, you know, if we have some out in Clover Pass, that's a great place to go learn how to identify gulls, because sometimes we'll have, you know, thousands and thousands of gulls concentrated at these areas, and it's a great place to get close-up looks and start learning how to identify them.
Okay, and I'll ask a personal gull question. I often see them just standing on one leg. Why do they do that? Unknown?
I have no idea. You have to ask the gull.
Okay.
Just comfortable.
I don't know. It just seems like it'd be hard to teeter on one leg. But
yeah, no, they do it easily.
Those big flat feet.
Yeah.
And I've seen that certainly with I guess, you know, storks, things like whatever. But it was odd to me seeing seagulls do that. I just hadn't before.
I have no explanation for the one-legged stand.
Or maybe it was a one-legged
seagull. I feel so inadequate right now.
Maybe it was a one-legged seagull. I don't know.
That's what I've always wondered. Is it just one-legged?
No, actually,
it's
put it down.
Its last leg, basically. It's not going to survive too long.
Yeah. Well, you know, one thing we should mention is that since it is the Hummingbird Festival, so far, we haven't had any reports of Rufus hummingbirds, but they could arrive. This is a completely normal arrival timing to start seeing our first Rufus hummingbirds. And it's a little complicated, too, because we've had a lot of Anna's hummingbirds that have spent the winter this year. And so I guess if you see a hummingbird, typically the first Rufus hummingbirds to arrive in Ketchikan are males, and they're bright orange. So if you see a completely orange hummingbird at your feeder, that would be a Rufus. But
And give Andy a call.
You have to keep in mind, though, that there are Anna's hummingbirds about. And I have one at my feeder this morning that's been coming all winter, and I know at least four or five other spots that have Anna's hummingbirds, and I'm sure there's more that I'm not aware of. So keep that in mind when you're looking for the first hummingbirds. It might not necessarily be a Rufus hummingbird.
Is the Anna's hummingbird similar in color?
That's why you know, these first Rufus hummingbirds that show up are males, and they're basically all orange, so they're really distinctive. The Anna's hummingbirds, if it's a female, they're mostly just greenish on the back and just pale gray or white on the underparts, and they don't have any of that kind of orangey Rufus coloration. A female Rufus hummingbird, they also are kind of greenish on the back, but they have rufous sides. And so on an Anna's hummingbird, you're not going to see any of that. Now, if it's a male Anna's hummingbird, if you see them in the right light, so their colors light up, their whole head is bright pink, which is really distinctive, too, for an Anna's hummingbird.
Okay, so look for that bright...
Look for an orange hummingbird.
Orange color.
And small.
Very small. Anna's hummingbirds are a little bigger, too, which can be, you know, if you just see a hummingbird by itself and you're not familiar with Anna's hummingbirds, that might not be something you could key on, really. But if you saw them together, you'd see the Anna's is larger.
Okay, we only have a couple minutes left. Give us some of the highlights from the festival. What are some of the things coming up?
Well, we're going to have birding at Ward Lake on the April 5th, and also the next weekend, April 12th. And then we also have Jim Lewis, who, you know, is very popular for his Friday Night Insight and showing wild bird photographs. So very close, beautiful photographs, and it helps with ID because you can really see the image really well and see all of those features. So that's going to be on April 18th, and then he'll be leading a bird walk downtown Ketchikan along the creek on the 19th. And then on the 25th, we will have Birding Insight with Steve Heinel. And that's where we're going to learn why Gravina Island is the hot spot for birding. So it was really fun coming up with that yesterday. And then the 26th of April is when Andy and Steve will lead the bird hike on Gravina Island.
Experience the magic.
Yeah, and then finally, I just want to put in a plug for this is the 50th year of the Wilderness Act, and so we will be screening the movie The Meaning of Wild, which celebrates this 50-year anniversary, and it's basically taking a journey through the Tongass National Forest through some wilderness areas. So it's never-before-seen footage. And I'm sure it's going to win some sort of award. So that will also happen on the 25th.
Okay, and those schedules, if people want them, are they available at the Discovery Center?
They are available at the Discovery Center. You can also go to our website, alaskacenters.gov/ketchikan.cfm, and they are posted there. And then I think you will also post it.
We'll have it on our community calendar.
Yeah, and it'll be at the Arts Council, too, I think, at their website and the Visitor Bureau as well.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you both for being here, and we look forward to our feathered friends returning and learning more about them.
All right. Thank you.
Andy Piston and Leslie Swada. Again, it's the Hummingbird Festival kicking off next Friday, the 4th, with the Juried Art Show at the Discovery Center.